You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But $5,000 was recently crowdfunded for trans-positive posters and stickers after an increase in anti-trans messages in media and online. The posters, put up by over 70 volunteers, feature messages such as "trans is beautiful" and "trans woman a woman." I spoke with one of the organisers of the campaign, Ahi Wee Hongi, from Gender Minority New Zealand about it, first asking how the campaign came about. Why did the poster and sticker campaign come about?
Originally, we developed those posters because we just wanted to put positive messaging about trans people up and around the place. And we thought of the, the campaigns like "girls can be scientists," you know, "women can do anything" type campaigns. And we thought, yeah, there should be that about trans people. You know, we should be seeing trans people are just normal people living normal lives, and and it's positive. It's not a bad thing to be trans. It's great. So we originally developed the posters to just reflect, that experience, and especially to try and reach out to trans people who might be a bit isolated and not really connected to a community of, they might not know anyone else who's trans and that sort of thing, to see some positive messages about themselves. And to know that they're not the only one who exists. Originally we developed them for those reasons. Most recently there has been a small group of a few kind of anti-trans extremist activists, and they've made a petition to Parliament to try to stop the changes to birth certificates, which are being debated by the Select Committee at the moment. So they've been putting sort of stickers and posters and things up around town, and they've also been in the media saying some really nasty things about trans people. So we really wanted to counter that hateful message about trans people with factual, true, positive, evidence-based messaging.
And sort of what effects have you seen since you've started putting up the posters?
We have had a lot of people join we run the biggest online social forum for trans people in New Zealand on Facebook called Transgender and Intersex NZ. And we've had a lot of new people join there since the posters have gone up. We've had over 1,000 views on a blog post that we did 3 days ago about this situation, and trying to get positive information out there and just let trans people know they don't need to listen to those sort of horrible messages, and let people know a little bit of the context around it, sort of a little bit of history. So I think there's been quite a lot of engagement with us about those things.
Is how much which is really great. Sort of discrimination do trans people face in Aotearoa currently?
It's very, very common. So there's a lot of discrimination in terms of housing. Like, housing is a really huge one. A lot of trans people can't get a house, even if they have, a stable job or 10 years worth of good references or that sort of thing, because a lot of people just, the landlord might meet the trans person and just think, oh, you're probably a sex worker. There's a lot of stigma against sex workers as well. They might think that the trans person is going to be using drugs in the house, or, there's a lot of kind of negative stereotyping that happens towards trans people. So they might think that you're going to wreck the house and they won't rent the house to you. And they might not say that to you, but, if you look at 100 houses and you're very well qualified to be, you're an ideal tenant, but because you're trans, you don't get any of those houses. It's kind of obvious what's happening there. So in housing and healthcare, trans people can't get their basic health needs met in most cases, where it's to do with getting hormones or getting surgeries. The surgery waiting list is like 40 years long, which is 39 and a half years longer than best practice. So it's kind of quite outrageous. And also just a lot of doctors don't actually know very much about trans patients because it's not taught in medical schools. So we're working on changing that. And, you know, generally, like, in the healthcare sector, people are really, you know, they want to be really supportive and help their patients. It's just that they don't feel supported, that they know what to do. So we do a lot of work on that sort of thing.
And you mentioned previously this sort of quite vocal minority of, I suppose, anti-trans people opposing changes to the births, deaths, marriages and relationships registration bill.
Yeah.
Can you sort of explain what changes you'd like to see from it?
Basically, what the changes to the bill, the proposed changes to the bill, would do is just make it more simple for trans people to change the sex recorded on their birth certificate. At the moment, it is possible already for people to do that, but it's quite a complicated court process, family court process. And if people don't know how to do that, or if they can't afford a lawyer to help them do that, then it makes it really hard for those trans people. So basically, in a nutshell, the bill would just make that process simpler.
Why are groups opposed to this? It seems like a fairly kind of just a minor thing to make things easier. Really,
I think that the opposition to these changes just comes from sort of, there's a lot of misinformation and fears that people have about transgender people. Largely this is very, very, it's rooted in really old and really inaccurate studies or even just theory papers that were done a long time ago. Some of the, you know, there's been some awful books written about trans people. Basically, pre-70s, everything was actually fine for trans people in the sense that people just worked together and it wasn't a problem. But around about the 70s, there were a couple of sort of seminal pieces that were written about transgender women, like such as The Transsexual Empire and, you know, like just a few really horrible, hateful sort of books that were written by sort of prominent feminists at the time, who, you know, have been completely discredited and these days don't hold much water. But yeah, so there's kind of like a history that goes back to those books. And when I think about the fears that people have around trans people, it's often the sort of things that you see in horror films. You know, it's based in stereotypical and sort of hyper, you know, trans women especially are often hyper-sexualized and sexual deviants, and they're sort of creepy and they want to, you know, have trick women into having sex with them and that sort of thing. It's not real life. It's not really, you know, it's of course just like any other gender of people, you know, people are just regular people.
So I suppose, would you like to see more campaigns like yours, but also kind of, I suppose, more public information campaigns to try and dispel some of these myths?
What we would love more than anything is for the rainbow community organisations, and especially transgender-led organisations, to be funded, because there's so much work that we do behind the scenes, which is, you know, supporting research so that we have really strong evidence base about trans people and health and well-being and how people are doing. We do a lot of work, you know, across the health sector and with homelessness organisations and schools and mental health, and there's such a lot of different work that goes into supporting trans communities and trans people. So, and we do it on hardly any money. We do it on pretty much budget zero, so we'd really love to see more of the rainbow communities and trans-led community organisations, you know, getting funding.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.